Hi, I'm Michelle Bangert, Managing Editor of Quality. I'm here today with George Hotman of NDE Solutions. So thanks for joining us, George.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah, so we're here today to talk about magnetic particle inspection. You were just saying it's one of your favorite to teach and talk about, but a little more laborious to do. But so can you tell us a little more about why you like the technology?
Well, it's very effective for finding small discontinuities in small parts. Quality Magazine deals with visual inspection a lot, and visual inspection depends upon photopic vision, or light-adapted vision. So when we're doing visual inspection, we're illuminating the test article with white light, visible light, and our eyes can only concentrate on a certain amount of physical area of the particular specimen that we're inspecting. It is visual inspection is the most popular inspection out there, and all kinds of industries use it, but it has its limitations. And I would ask your viewers to do this small experiment. Look at a paragraph of text and concentrate on one word in the middle of that paragraph, and then ask yourself, while just holding your vision on that one word, how many words around that particular word can you recognize while staring at one word? And the answer is not very many, because your eyes can only really concentrate on a limited amount of area at one time to really see it with good detail. So magnetic particle, has two major branches of visible particles or fluorescent particles. So with visible particles, you have that same visual limitation that you can only look at a small area at one time. Whereas with fluorescent magnetic particle, your eyes are dark adapted. A fancy word for that is scotopic. So you can look at a larger area all at once, and your eyes are drawn to this small area of fluorescence. So it increases your chances to see a small discontinuity that could be a defect, and it cuts down the amount of time that you can do 100% inspection on a particular part. So magnetic particle inspection is a enhanced visual inspection where you're more likely to see this defect. I know your readers are familiar with contrast ratio. So this is the ratio of a discontinuity, the appearance of a discontinuity to the surrounding area. So with photopic visual vision and visual inspection, we have approximately 100-to-1 contrast ratio between a black and white background, and obviously it decreases with different colors of articles and whatnot. With scotopic vision, we have and fluorescent particles, we have approximately a 1,000-to-1 contrast ratio. So this is an enhanced inspection where we're more likely to find a very small discontinuity. But I made the point that I don't really enjoy doing 10 or 12 hours of magnetic particle inspection, because it's somewhat laborious inspection. You're probably standing there looking at parts constantly. So many vendors or many shops realize that this is a fatiguing inspection, and they'll give their inspectors a break because they don't want their inspectors to miss a discontinuity that could be a defect. So oftentimes the shop will say, hey, we want you to give you a 5-minute break every hour just to rest your eyes, because this inspection lends toward eye fatigue. When one is doing fluorescent inspection, there is a kind of a shortcut and enhancement that if you use UV blocking safety glasses or amber tinted safety glasses. This cuts down on the eye fatigue, because if you're getting a reflection upon a, let's say, a forging, some highly polished surface where the UV illumination is reflecting back into your eyes, this fluoresces the whites of your eyeballs and produces eye fatigue. So somebody that's done 8 hours of fluorescent inspection or even visual inspection, one has eye fatigue. So knowing this potential for eye fatigue, when people are doing fluorescent inspection, often they'll wear amber tinted glasses. Now, you can go to Home Depot or some other shop and you can buy amber glasses. People that use firearms and do shooting, they often wear amber tinted glasses. And just the run-of-the-mill amber tinted glasses will work for fluorescent magnetic particle inspection or fluorescent penetrant inspection. But the manufacturers of these fluorescent lamps, they will sell you amber glasses that are specifically aimed at the wavelength of the fluorescent penetrant or fluorescent magnetic particle indication, wavelength that's generated. So they're more targeted at non-destructive inspection versus some other application like the firearms. So this is a fatiguing inspection, and that's why I say I really enjoy teaching magnetic particle and writing procedures about it and making sure everything's accurate. But to stand there all day and do mag particle inspection is fatiguing. It's a great way to make a living, and it's very satisfying knowing that we are, in essence, sorting the quote-unquote bad parts from the good parts. And it's very satisfying to contribute like that and know that we're part of the process to put good product in the customers and the end users' hands that will last. So it's satisfying in that regard. So that's a long answer, but I trust that answer.
Yeah, no, that all makes a lot of sense. Good information. So in the article, you talked a little bit about what's changed with the technology. So could you tell us a little more about the trends you've seen with it?
Well, we've gotten better with some of the equipment. There's different applications. There's portable application where they're using a magnetic yoke, basically a, it's a fancy horseshoe magnet that you plug in, or you're working that has a battery operated unit. So for those people that are doing this inspection, they've come out with yokes that are lighter, that weigh less. So that's important. I've talked to people that's all they do all day is they have this yoke in their hand and they're puffing on dry particle applications. And if you're using a yoke all day, that yoke gets heavy. And, or if you're doing overhead applications, there might be an overhead pipe that has a circumferential weld on it, and you're going to do a inspection on that weldment. So you're holding the yoke over your head. And I've done this inspection, and even as strong as I am as a young man, it is a fatiguing inspection. So for a yoke to come out that's several pounds lighter, it just makes it easier. So that's an improvement for the portable yokes. Now, much of fluorescent applications is done on a bench type unit where you walk up, you put the part in between the headstock and the tailstock, you apply a bath that has like a kerosene product for the bath itself that has these tiny mag particles in it. So the bath, the most popular bath out there for the last 50 years, a particular manufacturer that I won't mention, some people have a skin sensitivity to that bath. So I've met inspectors that they will break out in a rash if they're exposed to this particular bath. There's a manufacturer out there that produces a carrier. This is called a carrier that carries the particle to the indication that is being produced by the magnetic flux leakage. And so there's a new carrier out there that these people with the skin sensitivity can use and not be affected. So that's an improvement in the actual materials. Now, the actual equipment for the bench, there's been several things in the last couple of years that have really made the process better. One is the amperage variance. So I'll just say 30 years ago, you walk up to your bench and you dial in and you want 1,000 amps. Well, and you activate the amperage to magnetize the part several times, let's say 2-3 times. Well, in one shot, you might get 1,070. The next shot might be 930. There's a wide variance in that actual application that you are trying to get might undershoot it or overshoot it. Now, two manufacturers in particular have come out with a more accurate amperage selection. And one of the manufacturers is better than the other, and they're advertising like below 1,000. My memory's imperfect, but I'm just saying below 1,000, you'll get only a 1 amp amperage. So if you dial in 927, it'll be 927 plus or minus one. That is phenomenal. That is game changing. You have a more accurate application of the amperage that you want. And then there's also a low amperage application where typically the bench units that you'll see out there today, because you can buy one and it'll last 40 years easily. So typically below 100 amps, they won't be very accurate at all. And you might not be able to get lower than 70 or 80 amperage. Now one manufacturer comes out with a unit that goes down as low as 10 amps of magnetizing current. So if you have a very small part, this is golden. This works so that you can magnetize accurately a very small part. So that has been another leap in technology. Another one is a better demagnetization capability. So typically in the U.S., hey, we're 60 cycles AC. You need AC versus DC current to demagnetize. And here in the U.S., we're 60 cycles per second. In Europe, it's 50 cycles per second. But there's a demag capability that's able to go down to less than 10 cycles per second. So it's a more accurate, more effective demagnetization of the article once you're done with the inspection. So just a review of the inspection, typical inspection, you pre-clean the part, and then you're working to a procedure or a specific technique for that particular part that tells you magnetize it this many amperage, and you apply your bath or your particles. The particles are drawn to the magnetic flux leakage of a potential indication of a discontinuity or possibly a defect if it exceeds the acceptance criteria. You visually inspect it with proper illumination, either white light or UV illumination, irradiance would be the proper word. And then after the inspection, you demagnetize the part so that it doesn't attract any more particles, and then you post-clean the part. You want to demagnetize the part because you don't want a magnetized part going into your automobile engine or other high-stress components because these magnetized parts would attract any kind of magnetic debris and could disrupt function of the component once it's out in the field. So you want to demagnetize it. This lower cycle demagnetization capability is a more effective way to demagnetize so that there's not problems down the road once the part is in service. And then regarding illumination for fluorescent, even for visual inspection, these LED flashlights are very bright and very small. So that is an improvement for visual inspection. For fluorescent applications, we have these new LED fluorescent lamps that are much brighter. The bulbs last a lot longer, and they're cool to the touch. So growing up in this, 40 years ago when I started out, there was one primary manufacturer of lamps and some other lamps manufacturers, but the typical lamp would be 180 degrees on the outside. So you can tell my quip or my joke about is you could tell old mag particle penetrant inspectors because they have burns on their forehead from trying to get into a tight spot and putting their face close to the lamp and accidentally burning their face. So, and these were mercury vapor bulbs. So they actually had mercury in them. And the typical inspector, these lamps would fade with use. So if you use them 8 hours a day, every day, they might last 3 months and then they've faded beyond use. And you would throw these bulbs out. So they have mercury in them.
Oh man!
Back in the day, we didn't think anything of it. But I remember working for a major aerospace manufacturer. And when we told the environmental people that we were throwing mercury into the garbage, they got all excited. So these bulbs are still in use today in the United States. They're illegal in Europe, other parts of the world, because they have mercury in them. But we're smarter today. So these bulbs are still legal to use here in the U.S. They're becoming more expensive because not many are being made. There's not much demand for those anymore. But some shops have stocked up on bulbs and they're still using these mercury vapor bulbs. However, the advantages with these LED lamps are there's many advantages. I mentioned they're cool to the touch. So you turn them on and off and they're on. Instead of warming up, these old mercury vapor bulbs would take 5 minutes to warm up to their full intensity. These new LED bulbs, let's say you turn it on instantly, you might have 5,000 microwatts per centimeter squared at 15 inches. And then it stabilizes and it goes a little less. It might be, instead of 5,000, it might be 4,950. But still, you're way over the legal limit of 1,000 microamps per square inch. It's instant on and it's cool to the touch. For the inspector, he loves this. He can go out and inspect right away. He doesn't have to wait for the lamp to warm up, and it's cool to the touch. And it gives you this very bright illumination. And as a generality, I mean, there are instances where it's at a disadvantage. As a generality, the more UV irradiance that you have, the easier it is to see potential discontinuity. UV illumination obeys the laws of light. It's inversely proportional to the square of the distance. So just for example, if I have at 16 inches away from a UV meter sensor, if I have 6,000 microwatts per centimeter squared at 16 inches, if I bring it to 8 inches, now I quadruple the amount of illumination. So instead of 6,000, I've got 6 times 4, I've got 24,000 microwatts per centimeter squared of irradiance or illumination. So it's a lot of illumination. So it is easier to see the indications with these new lamps. Now, they're more expensive than the old mercury vapor lamps, but they last a lot longer. There are some potential long disadvantages to it. The longer you use these, the more that some of these lenses will solarize. So, you know, and if you have an old car, your headlamps eventually will dim because the UV in the sun will darken your lens on your headlights. This is called solarization. Some models of these LED lamps have lent themselves to solarization. In other words, with enough use, it will dim the output of your UV lamp. Knowing this, now the manufacturers are trying to address this and come out with better lenses that don't solarize. But as a generality, whereas you would replace this lamp, this old mercury vapor lamp bulb, every 3 to 4 months, if you're using it every day, with these new UV lamps, you can go years without replacing either the lens or the lamp itself. Years. So sometimes, you know, they project some of these to last 10 years without replacing them. That is huge. That's a cost savings. And you talk to any inspector and they'll tell you, wow, we love this lamp.
Yeah.
This lamp is so much better than what we used to have. So those are the improvements to the equipment. Is there anything else?
No, I think that covered it. But thank you for sharing all this information. A lot of good stuff. And readers can look at the article in our February issue for more information. But I appreciate all your time today, George, for the good stuff. Thank you for sharing.